We do need to talk about Sharpay Evans. I mean, it's super important, and it's super fascinating that the older I get, the more I honestly like love her, and I think she's hilarious. I remember the first time I saw High School Musical, she was just kind of seen as like, oh, the mean girl, like she wants to make everything fall apart, and she wants the worst for Gabriella, and anybody that wants the worst for Gabriella wants the worst for me, so why would I be cheering you on? Why would I be rooting for you, yeah? But it's something about age and growing up and maturity. And this is not like, oh, I am 29, so I'm super grown and mature. That's not what this is at all. This is more one of those, like, literally from being, like, 15 until, like, turning 16 or 21. And then, like, oh, wait, I'm out of college now. Like, whatever growing up looks like for you, whatever maturity looks like for you, when you grow as a human, when you just become more, I don't know, settled in your own weaknesses, but learning how you can turn them into your strengths. I think it's very possible that we can start to see ourselves in people like Sharpay Evans a lot more than we could before. And when I was talking with my friend Karis Ferris about this, well, actually, she and I didn't talk about High School Musical directly, but when I was thinking about this conversation later, I was like, oh my goodness, sometimes I think I'm Sharpay. Good morning, good night, and good welcome to the Jamie Grace Podcast. I'm your host and producer, Jamie Grace of 91. This show is all about relationships, pop culture, and emotional health with a whole lot of sincerity and a little bit of wit. And I'm so, so glad that you guys are here. And make sure that you put it on your Instagram if you like it. So even though I've had moments of, you know, fame, if you will, and I'm really grateful for very particular seasons where there were just like some financial situations where I was like, nice, like this just happened because I was singing, like that's really cool. You know, I say that to say because Sharpay's got this classic song, right, that's like, I want it all, the fame and the fortune. So even though I wouldn't call myself like famous per se, and I've definitely not experienced a fortune, I have experienced privilege in those areas, financially and also with notoriety. And even though I've had those experiences, that's not necessarily how I find Sharpay relatable. I more so find her relatable just in the context of like when you see what you want and you realize what you have, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, is what I have even good enough? Like, am I good enough? Like, I'm not even kidding, because like, look at this girl. Like, she's complaining so much in this song about how what she has is not enough and how she needs so much more. And I know this might sound super cheesy to you guys, but something that she has that I don't think is talked about necessarily with any other character in this movie, but she has a sibling that is right by her side. And when I think about like my relationship with my sister, if I had to trade like my relationship with my sister for like the lead in this play, or, you know, financial, like crazy financial stability or whatever it might be, it's like there's something so beautiful about embracing what we have. And as I get older, like when I first saw High School Musical, I was so mad at Sharpay. I was like, oh my gosh, Ashley Tisdale is amazing because she is making me so mad. Yet in like interviews and stuff, she seems so fun, right? I was so frustrated with like how good of an actress she was that she hit that role so well. Maybe it was a little triggering because a lot of us maybe know girls that act that way. But the older I get, the more human she seems, and the more I'm faced with like, wow, what does it mean to want it all in my own life? It might not be fame or fortune that I'm looking for. It might not be, you know, success in the way the world deems success. But what am I striving for, and what am I willing to let go? Not because it's a bad thing, but because I need to have my priorities in the right place. And so my friend Karis and I, we sat down and we had a conversation about this. So she is super cool, you guys. We first became internet friends. I followed her because she just seemed like a really cool human. She's a photographer. I followed her a couple of years ago when she had two kids. Now they have three. Oh my goodness. There's something about going from two to three kids. It's like when you have two, you can hold a hand of each of them and you're like walking around. When you have three, it's like, whoop. So I am very impressed that, I mean, she just seems and just being honest, some people might look at her page and be like, she has it all. She's a successful businesswoman. She's a wife. She's a mom. She's killing it. Like, she literally has it all. But how do we balance in our lives the things that we want, the things that we need, and reframing what it means to have it all, right? Because I don't think that the answer is saying you can't have anything because that is not life and value. I think the true answer is reframing what it means to have it all and realizing that whether that's your family or, you know, a business that you've really poured into, a degree that you believe in and you've put it into a workplace that is powerful, a nonprofit that you serve, whatever that means, I think it's worth revisiting and being like, well, maybe this is what it means to have it all, to have what I have right here, right now, and to embrace it and be pumped about that. So I don't know. Well, not that I don't know, but that's where my brain. Okay, cool. Hey, so real quick, if you like High School Musical, I'm hosting a High School Musical movie night. It's going to be exclusive on Patreon. We're going to hop on Zoom, watch High School Musical together. I'm going to leave my mic on because it was requested. I'm going to be like running my mouth through the whole movie. All the opinions. You can mute me if you need to. I respect that. But I hope that you've at least seen High School Musical enough times to where it's like, bruh, this is a conversation. We have things to discuss, yeah? So hit me up at patreon.com/JamieGrace, patreon.com/JamieGrace. For $5 a month, you can support this podcast and come to fun stuff like movie night. And I'm super excited about it. So here's my conversation with Karis Ferris. I hope you guys like it. And stay tuned for the end because speaking of Ashley Tisdale, you guys know, you might know that I've been watching the show The Masked Dancer. She's one of the judges, and I'm going to recap this past week's episode.
So I have my dear Instagram friend / pretend friend / future friend, Karis Ferris, here with me today. How's it going, girl?
I am good. You know, a little tired, but overwhelmingly well.
Yeah, well. That's good. It's crazy because you and I have, this is our actual first conversation.
We have video chatted like back and forth. To me, that
can't. Right. This is our first live combo. Because, you know, we're both moms of very just sociable daughters. And we're both entrepreneurs alongside our husbands. And so I feel like we have so many things in common. But can you just for those that don't know, I don't know why they wouldn't know. Hopefully they'll find out. But can you just like give us a quick little intro of your family? Because they're all super cute and sweet. So I just want everybody to know.
Yes. So I'm Karis. I'm the mom. My husband's name is Josh. We got married in 2014. Shortly after we got married, literally 7 months after we got married, we got pregnant with our oldest daughter. Her name is Lois Elizabeth, but we call her Ellie. And then in 2018, we had our son, JT. And then in 2020, we had our daughter, Josie. Her name is Josephine, and JT is Joshua II. So that's like a quick recap.
I love it. I love it so much. And you guys are photographers as well.
Yes, we are. So Josh actually started our photography business in college. We met at Baylor. And when we started dating, I kind of came on as his creative director. And then after a while, I was like, okay, you're not getting my vision. Teach me how to shoot. and so then I started shooting and I worked a real job for about 6 months after college. And then I was like, this is not for me. And so I just basically went full-time photography, and he went full-time at the end of 2016. He worked for NASA, which is because he's just smart guy, as a mechanical engineer before he quit. But since 2014, we've pretty much been or at least I've been full-time in this whole photography entrepreneurship thing. And he's built the business to crazy bounds by expanding it to commercial and marketing work. And he's awesome.
Yeah. I love that so much because, you know, I know this might sound like such a stereotypical statement or whatnot to say, but, you know, I know that oftentimes, especially as young women, we might desire to be married and to have kids, but you also might desire to be an entrepreneur and to have your own business. And I've always really admired that about you, how you are so present with your children. There is no doubt that you are working so hard to be a mom. Like, you're killing it. You're an amazing mom. And I also probably should also give context as well that while you and I have not met in person, like, I know your mom and a lot of your other family as well. I was finding myself starting to sound like a stalker, and I just wanted to like clarify, like,
No, I knew that. No, we're good.
Yeah. Like, I've also heard, like, you know, raving reviews from like your actual family that I know. But then you also have this incredible business as well. And I think that's so important for young women to see that, not even, because I think the world might use the phrase like, oh, you can have it all. But I don't even think that that's the appropriate way to put it. I feel like you're just walking in purpose. I really feel like you are in such a beautiful way. Is it like a very intentional choice of like sometimes having to put work things on hold or having to make sacrifices at home? Like, how, I know that's such an annoyingly cliche question, but how are you able to like walk in purpose in all of those lanes?
Yeah, I honestly, I feel like this year was life-changing for me in figuring out that I can't do it all and I can't have it all, and that I have to choose what is most important and then, you know, configure my life around that. I think this year, especially, I think for people, a lot of people like who are in COVID, it was like chill time. And we were hustling. Like, we had more business this year than ever before, just because like people had a message, and now the only way that they could get it out is like photo and video. And so I was just working so hard and really torn, honestly, because I felt like, oh my gosh, you know, my kids feel, you know, kind of pushed aside because I'm working. And then like when I'm with the kids, I'm like thinking about work and what I'm not doing. And this year was super rough for me in, you know, trying to balance, ugh, hate that word. And I remember I called my aunt Priscilla, my mom, Crystal, and my grandfather to ask him just like how my grandmother did this, because I feel like I had such good examples in them when I was growing up, except for like I was a nasty teenager and like wasn't paying attention to like all the quality like that they had that I could have like been watching. And so I was like repeatedly asking them like, how do I do this? How do I, you know, be full-on entrepreneur and like do what I love and also make sure my children aren't like crap adults? And they kept saying to me, like, you have to choose. You cannot do it all. Like, you're not supposed to do it all. Like, you choose priorities. And to me, that didn't make sense, because I was just like, that I can't just choose. Like, I have to, I was like, there has to be a better answer than, you know, choose your priorities and like focus. But I honestly feel like in the last 3 weeks of this year, that has just come full circle. And it is, you just have to choose. And so what I did was I basically like wrote out, when I'm 80, what do I want my life like? And what priority? And when I'm 80, I want like to have lived a life that was just in complete submission, and for people to have known that about me, and for me to have stories to tell of God's faithfulness. I want to be laid up with Josh, old and wrinkly, and, you know, cuddling and making inappropriate jokes because we still love each other and we still like have fun together. I want my kids to want to be around me. Like, when I fall asleep mid-conversation because I'm 80, I want them to like want to be with me. And then after all that, like, I want to have had this greatness and to be able to see like couples get married. And so what I do now is I live in that priority. Mm-hmm. Like, I live with the end in mind of thinking, okay, if I'm going to be 80 and I want to live a life, or I want to have looked back and seen that I lived a life that is faithful to God, I got to be faithful to God first. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, I got to serve Josh like nobody's business, and I got to love on him, and like, he's a priority. And like, when, you know, he needs dinner, I got to stop work and make it, you know, or figure out a way for him to get dinner. Or that's just an example. But, mm-hmm. and then with my kids, like when they're home from school, I have to stop work, because otherwise their memories be, I was always working. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's been, what do I want my life to look like at 80, and then living in that priority. But it is so hard. It is so hard because I want to work.
Yeah.
So like when they're home from school, I'm just like, oh, like gritting my teeth, like, okay, I gotta stop, you know, because when I'm 80, I don't want their memories to be like, yeah, when we got home from school, my mom was like working, you know, because that's what it will be if I don't prioritize.
Dude, I totally get like, and again, I've said this to you before, but I'm like, I totally get like a third of what you're saying, only because I don't allow myself to act like I totally get it because you have three kids and I have one. And I'm like, I'm not about to be like, I'm not going to be like, girl, I'm sleepy too. Like, no, no, no. I'm like a third of your sleepy and I'll own that. But yeah, I mean, I totally understand that it's prioritizing, you know, and it's like, and I love, I know you, right after you made the comment about making Josh dinner, and then you were like, well, that's just an example. I actually love that you said that so much. And the reason why I said that, I'm going to hope that I can get this out of my brain properly. But I think a lot of times, you know, just with culture and not wanting to be misogynistic and not wanting to have the concept of like, oh, the wife is in the kitchen, she better have my dinner by 7:02, you know, not wanting to feed that culture. I think a lot of times, and correct me if I'm wrong, women like us who enjoy making meals for our family, mm-hmm. who enjoy that look on your man's face when he ate something that only you can make. Yep. I think a lot of times, like, we kind of get left in the dust a little bit because it's like, no, I'm not sacrificing time at work because I have to make dinner for a man. Yeah. That's not why I'm doing it. I'm doing this because I choose to put him at the top of my list because he ain't gonna react the same way if somebody else made this meal. Nope. Like, there's such a joy in knowing that only I can do what I can do. Yeah. And even as a mom as well, it's like, there's nothing wrong with having a babysitter or a nanny. Like, there's nothing wrong with that, but there's also that privilege and like, no one can do this for my daughter the way that I can.
So true.
And so then it's being intentional about making those choices to like, okay, well then how can I make sure that I'm present for these things that I choose to do and for these gifts that I've been given. I want to take like a kind of a pivot a little bit because you mentioned, you know, calling your family members and kind of asking like, how did my grandmother do this? And, you know, and things like that. And just to even mention her, I mean, she was such a joy and a light into so many lives. And I only met her once briefly, but I just even want to just take a second to acknowledge this, the joy that she brought into the world. But I wanted to ask you, a lot of times, you know, it's difficult to ask for help, you know, when we're struggling with something, when we feel like we're falling behind, you know, it's hard to call, especially your mom, right? It's hard in those adult years to find that humility and to be like, oh man, now I gotta go back to her and the same stuff I ignored as a teenager, I need at 25, you know? Mm-hmm. So how do you combat those feelings of insecurity or inadequacy or any other feelings that might come up when you know that you have to reach out and ask for help?
Yeah, I think that for me, why I haven't typically asked for help is because I feel like nobody can do it as good as me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you know, like I, you know, if I were to do this, it would be done a very specific way. And if I ask for help, I am sacrificing, you know, the perfection of how I would have gotten it done. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Yeah.
So for me, like, I feel like people have issues asking for help for like many different reasons. For me, my issue is I can do it better.
Right. And let me just get it done.
And I want to do it, you know, mm-hmm. but there does come a point like where the rubber meets the road and you literally cannot. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with me asking for help with my mom and my aunt and was, how do I offload like without, you know, releasing like the things that are important to me and how it should be done. And so I think like my Aunt Priscilla, her answer was like, you just let it go. You just have to let it go.
Yeah.
She's a very like, you know, free flowing, like just, it'll be fine, you know, type of person.
Yeah.
And my mom is she like holds on like me. And so she was like, you have to delegate, you have to write specific instructions, like you have to, you know. So I think that it is still hard for me to ask for help because, like I said, I want to do it and I feel like I can do it better. But there comes a point where you just can't. And it's, again, choosing your priorities. Like, what's more important, that I edit this one photo like to perfection or that I have dinner with my daughter? Like, what's more important here? And if I can teach somebody else how to edit this photo exactly like I would, I have to let it go. I can't teach someone else to be her mom. It's just, for me, like, I just go back to priorities. It's, what do you want later on? What do you want most? And then delegate and get help for what, for the things that you know, you don't have to do.
I feel like our sense of humor might be the same, or maybe our sense of irritation might be the same, because you also, because you also, like, you kind of rolled your eyes at yourself when you said the word balance. And I too, I roll my eyes at myself when I say the word balance, because especially considering, like, as a working mom, people are like, so how do you balance it out? You know, it's just like, the same way men do, but whatever. But like, you know, with that in mind of, like, just all of the things that 2020 has taught us, how is this going to shift and change your focus for 2021? You know, because I know for me, when 2020 started, I had unnecessarily high expectations for the businesswoman that I would be and the mom that I would be. And I had to let a lot of things go. And so I'm curious to know what your kind of emotional, like, mental state will be, as far as not putting that pressure on yourself. Or, well, I'm really bad at ending questions. So your turn.
Your turn. I love it. No, I mean, for me, it is just going to be like letting things go. It's just going to be letting things go. I have worked so hard. for a while now. I've worked so hard, and I think that because I've worked so hard, and because Josh has worked hard, like, it's not just me, we're a unit, like, working hard together. And because we both worked hard, we've allowed ourselves, like, we have 5 employees. Like, I shouldn't be working this hard still. When I've worked this hard to kind of build this infrastructure. So for me, it's delegating. It's saying, okay, what can I release? Like, okay, Lord, like, you've built us up to this point. What else do you want me to take on? And what do you want me to release? Right. Because I don't know, for me, it's just, I have to, honestly, I have to be with Ellie. Ellie, it's like the pole or the pulpit for her. It is one or the other. Like, there is no in between for that girl. And if I am not on her, like, white on rice, like, we are going to be in trouble. And so I just honestly, I'm like, what can I give away so that I can be with my daughter more? Yeah.
I love that. I've been talking with my family a lot about the return of investments. And, you know, I'm looking forward to 2021 as being a return on those investments. And not even so much of like, yeah, that money gonna come in, because, you know, not like that, but
no, I get what you mean.
Right. I have, you know, this year has really, 2020 has really taught me about a lot of investing in my family and my business and my husband in an intentional way, not in that order, but like husband, then family and business. It really taught me that. And I'm like, you know what, 2021 is like, it's a return on that. And I'm so encouraged by your spirit in that as well. I love that Ellie needs you 24/7, because, you know, it provides great Instagram story content for the rest of us. But also just genuine, like, you know, motivation and inspiration as well, you know. Classic reminder, Jesus had 12 disciples, and then he had a smaller few that he was even closer to, and we weren't meant to do this alone. And it's just, it's always a good reminder. Before I let you go, there is one question that I love to ask people.
Okay.
It's a little bit of a random one, but, I talk a lot about, like, pop culture references that mean a lot to me, like old Disney movies that no one else is talking about anymore. And so I would just love to know, is there, like, an episode or a movie, anything like that, that had just a good impact on you when you were growing up?
I wouldn't say, like, it's like a productive impact, like, whatsoever. Yes.
I'm excited.
Like, there's two that really come to mind. Like, to this day, like, whenever I'm hungry in my head, and sometimes, like, it comes out of my mouth, I go, feed me, Seymour, from, like, the little house of, what is it, little shop of, like, I can't remember the name of the movie. It's like this talking plant that, like, I don't know. It's a strange
movie. That's, like, one of those references. I don't know where it's from, but I know the reference. So
yes. And I don't know why, like, in every single time I'm hungry, that line comes to my head, like, feed me, Seymour. I don't know why. And then I love the Black Cinderella, the Brandy yes. Cinderella.
Yes.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And I think that there are like so many, I'm like trying to think of one, but I think there are so many like references that I pull from that, like things that are said and like all of that. And I think this week Ellie said one back to me and I was like, oh, yes.
You're a good mom.
Waiting for
Oh, I love like that.
I was like, ooh, you're my daughter. This is great.
That's beautiful. I've been teaching Isabella Impossible. That's been, which is really easy to teach because it's basically just repeating after me.
Yeah.
And so that's our, people always ask if I want her to be a singer. And I'm like, look, she does not have to ever perform ever, with the exception of her learning Brandy's lines in Impossible to perfection for her wedding. Like, we're gonna perform it at her wedding.
That is hysterical. I love
it. And if she doesn't deliver, Brandy will be on standby because I don't have time for mistakes here.
I love it. That's exceptional.
Thank you. Okay, so how can people? I know that you're, of course, on the socials. So how can people connect with you on social media?
Yeah, I am Karis Ferris everywhere. Karis is spelled with one R and two S's, and Ferris is spelled with two R's and one S. And Instagram, Facebook, website, all the things is Karis Ferris.
Lovely. That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Karis. I'll make sure to put the links to your Insta and everything in the show notes as well. And we will talk soon.
Yes, we will.
Hey, y'all, I wanted to take a quick moment to share with you some info about one of my favorite sponsors of the Jamie Grace podcast. Y'all, when quarantine first started, I was not very interested in this whole online counseling thing because it made me really anxious. And as someone that has anxiety, I had to figure something out because a lot of things make me anxious. Eventually, I gave it a try, and I have to say that it's been very beneficial for me. So I want you guys, if you need to check out Faithful Counseling. Whether you have an anxiety diagnosis or you are dealing with the everyday frustrations of life, I can promise you that you will find it beneficial to talk to a counselor through Faithful Counseling. You can go to faithfulcounseling.com/Jamie Grace to learn more about the very affordable counseling that they have and the four different ways you can communicate with a clinical therapist. And if you'd like, they can incorporate some faith-based things as well into your counseling. Visit faithfulcounseling.com/Jamie Grace. That's faithfulcounseling.com/Jamie Grace. I had one of those things happen this week where I tried as hard as I could to like stay off of any potential spoilers of The Masked Dancer, and I failed. I don't feel like I failed. It was barely 24 hours later, and someone that I follow definitely tweeted like exactly who went home and who was the person, who the person was rather. And I don't think he listens to this podcast, but if he does, you know I follow you. You know what you did. So shame on you. No shame on you. I really do enjoy the show, but I will say that I was way off from so many different guesses, and I've never been this kind of off from The Masked Singer, and I wish this show was easier, and I'm upset and sad. So we're going to run through it really quick, and as I mentioned, Ashley Tisdale is one of the judges on the show, so if you are missing High School Musical, if you are missing some Ashley Tisdale in your life, then you should definitely check out the show. Speaking of nostalgia as well, Paula Abdul is one of the judges, and I love American Idol. You guys know that. It comes out on February 14th, the new season. So make sure you check all these things out. Okay. So, y'all, I was convinced. Well, let's first go by the zebra. No offense, zebra. I don't think I had you in my notes, man. I'm so sorry. But you didn't go home. You didn't get revealed. So we're just going to wait till next week and see what's up. Y'all, cotton candy, last week, I had a full-on, like, meltdown. Does anybody remember that? I straight up cried on the podcast talking about how much Julianne Hough blessed my life and how much I love her. And then I was like, I don't think it's Julianne Hough. This past episode, I was like, that is not Julianne Hough. I'm so mad. I'm not so much like mad at all at the person that it is. I'm more so mad at myself at the emotional turmoil that I allowed myself to indulge in thinking that it was Julianne Hough. If you haven't heard that episode, I think it's worth listening to because it hits out of nowhere, this just emotional situation that I had. So it's not Julianne. We got that covered. Someone did say Gabby Douglas. Oh, no, I think that was me. So it's kind of pointing toward that she's an Olympian. I thought it was Gabby Douglas. And then Ashley Tisdale was like, I think it's Tara Lipinski, which makes way more sense that it would be an ice skater. And then there was like the whole lipstick clue. And I was like, oh my gosh, how did I think this was Julianne Hough? What is wrong with me? I definitely think it's Christy Yamaguchi or Tara Lipinski. But Tara seems to be the most practical guest right now, right? Cool. The sloth. Paula said Matthew Morrison. That was last week. I still think that's right. But then Ashley Tisdale said Will Ferrell. And I was like, wait, that could be right. Honestly, I'm lost. My brain is depleted. I think a lot of what's going on. I'm not going to say I think. I know of a lot of what's going on in the world, in our country. My brain is just choosing to not work. And that's fine. You know, I'm in touch with, you know, my feelings and my friends, and I'm doing pretty cool in those arenas, if that makes sense. Like, well, okay, I'm all over the place here. But what I mean is that if you find yourself like mentally detaching and you're like not eating, not talking to friends, not doing things that you love, that's a different situation. Might need to talk to a counselor about that. I've totally been there. I get it. Right. What I'm getting at is like, I'm just kind of detaching from like anything that's like on the TV or a screen. I'm just like, I just want to be outside with the wind and the people that are in my neighborhood. Like I stood outside twice this week and talked to two different neighbors. And I was like, I just want to like talk to people. And I'm like pretty positive based on like things that my neighbors have said. You can't judge people based on things they say, but we've had some in-depth conversations. I'm pretty sure that they both voted differently than I did. And I just wanted to spend time with them. I just wanted to spend time with people that are like close by me and stuff. So like every time I watch TV right now, it's so hard to zone in. I kind of love that. But at the same time, I still love TV. So I'm still watching stuff. I'm just not as coherent. Don't worry, guys. I'm scheduled with my therapist soon. It's kind of cool to be able to be like, man, I just want to spend time with my family and my friends and humans. You know what I mean? Like safely 6 feet away from them, outside, fresh air, but, you know, still enjoy TV here and there. Y'all, this is over 30 minutes of an episode. Okay, so let's just go ahead and hit the spoiler alert. The moth went home, right? The moth went home. And this is where I was like, I was way off. I thought it was Omarosa. I was positive. But it was Elizabeth Smart. Now, I'm not going to share her story here on the podcast because there are different resources and, you know, she is quite the activist in such a beautiful and humbling way. And she shares her story online for sure and books and things like that. Y'all, that girl, I was a kid when she came home. Let me see. I don't know. Man, I don't know when she came home. I think it was like, what, 2003? I'm looking it up. So I was like 12 or 13. And I remember like just feeling so connected to her. Oh my gosh. Like what a story. Anyways, so it was really cool to see her on the show. I'm very curious about producer input because I feel like he guessed that on the mark, the Brian guy that guessed. He could have just totally guessed, totally possible. I kind of always wonder if the producers, like, every week, if they'll send them, like, a list, like, certain judges, they'll give them, like, a list of, like, 20 people, and they'll be like, it's one of these 20 people. You know? Like, I feel like that would make a lot of sense to me. Because of just all the people in the world, they just quarantine all these celebrities, and they're just like, pick one. That seems like a really daunting task, yeah? Okay, guys, we can't let this hit a 40-minute long episode because that's a long episode. But I just want to say thank you guys so much for listening. I really appreciate the support. I love you much. I'll talk to you soon. Okay, bye. Thank you so much for listening to the Jamie Grace podcast. Honestly, it means the world to me. In case you don't know, I'm an independent artist and a producer out here in Arizona where all the cool kids are. And what I do would not be possible without my Patreon community. So hit me up at patreon.com/Jamie Grace where you can get behind the scenes of all my new music, bonus episodes of the podcast, and we even have movie nights where we connect with nostalgia by way of High School Musical, The Brave Little Toaster, and so much more. So hit me up at patreon.com/Jamie Grace. And of course, find me on Insta at Jamie Grace H.